Keep busting.
Okay, first record today is very short. Second one's a bit longer. I mean, it's all very amusing having no name, but it confuses everybody. Keith Richards was in reception the other day. He wanders in trying to get an interview occasionally. He was going,
you know, that's like embarrassing, man. I mean, he says it's called Cymbal, but I don't know if that's hi-hat or splash or ride like Charlie used to use, you know? I just call him Ring Pull.
Spam fry-ups.
This is Alice Cooper. Isn't Sybil Roscoe at Twitter?
The sad, tragic tale of how I tried to take Lady Miss Keir out for dinner one night will have to be told some other time. Tonight's programme is devoted almost in entirety to our sort of the day, Martin Lewis. The full version of his interview with Peter Hamill crops up about 9:30. This is a snatch.
Obviously on a story about transport policy, you wouldn't go so far as to examine what a road was.
Well, if a story is complex, then it helps to provide all the explanation you would need, as though someone was picking it up for the first time, because for one reason or another, they haven't been listening for the previous 4 or 5 days.
And this is the sort of thing that Newsnight perhaps would do that the main bulletins wouldn't.
Oh, no, the main bulletins would as well.
Explain what a road was.
We would. We would explain what a road was.
All right, in today's Head Hinge, phone now if you want to take part in the cow quiz. There's a rare giveaway for the BBC. It's a cash prize. Huge cash prizes at stake if you phone 071-637-4343. We've got a D-Day roundup from 1FM's news banger team. The most moving ceremony for me, I don't know about you, was the procession of British and French women who selflessly obliged the American soldiers 50 years ago. Sometime around 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, they lay on their backs, waving their legs in the air and moaning the names, if they could remember. And a nice touch it was, too, to see that the soldiers' wives had given special dispensation for their husbands to take pleasure once again in these women, lest, God forbid, we or they forget. There's also a feedback tonight to prove that soliciting public opinion is the stupidest idea since hiring an entomologist to help you choose between the lesser of two weevils. Human prognose Peter Bainham has promised to raid the trash can of some celeb dinge. It looks like Glenn Close is in town tonight, so we'll be picking up on that about 10 to 10. And as the news horse crashes on to Fact Infinity tonight, news and Clinton reveals his fears to the nation as he claims he overheard two robots planning to blow up America.
Obviously, since their conversations are private, I can't say more. But all I can tell you is that I honestly believe that, and I think the other major actors in this drama believe it as well.
Pavement, Pixies wannabe band number one for tonight. Here's today's first feedback report. This is on the subject of the ephemeral dog, a tragic species which starts off as a puppy and then gets smaller.
What are your feelings about the ephemeral dog?
I think it's pretty disgusting.
Can you describe briefly what happens to the ephemeral dog in its tragic life?
It appears to grow smaller as it grows older.
It would fall out of its lead, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes.
It would blow away on a strong breeze.
The whole thing becomes absurd in capital letters.
What typeface do you think?
Grotesque.
What about the effect of an ephemeral dog on a child?
Oh, I think it would be deadly. It would give a nightmare for the rest of his life, I should think.
Might send him to an early grave.
Send him to an asylum.
And this is quite serious, isn't it?
Oh, yes, I'm quite serious about it.
As a rule of thumb, what would you say with the minimum size limit for a dog?
Well, a lap dog for
to lap.
Around about a foot long or something like that is as adequate, I should have thought.
Certainly not so small you could play tiddlywinks with it.
No, certainly not.
If you saw an ephemeral dog which had reached the final furlong of its wretched life, how would you comfort it?
As it faded. I think I would kill it.
And as a memorial for the species, a few words?
Jesus wept.
Yes. Oh, God. Oh, hey! What's up? Mop, mop. Where's my
race? Uno, dos, tres, cuatro.
Up next, a full roundup on the revelations of D-Day week from 1FM's news banger.
See that black boy over there running scared. $1.99, get a bottle of wine.
$071-63-743-43 if you want to take part in the cow quiz. Simple questions asked about a cow. If you get it right, a huge cash prize. If you get it wrong, the prize doubles, and the next person in line has a chance to win twice the sum that you were after. 071-637-4343. Book your place now. We'll do that in about half an hour. Peter Bainham, evening, sir.
Hello.
Okay, do you want to go out and get Glenn Close's trash can?
Glenn Close, where's she staying?
She's staying with Michael Winner at the moment.
In Bayswater.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, then.
So if you hoof it out there and come
all
back
right.
Sort of in about half an hour,
yeah.
So
all right, yeah. I'll do it as fast as I can. See you in a bit.
Okay. Cheers, man. So, D-Day week it's been, and here is a roundup of D-Day week from 1FM's Jack Bowyer. He's one of the chief reporting staff at 1FM News Banger.
It's been a week crammed with a kind of dribbling emotion on which great news is built.
Pretty emotional, really. Remembering all those people there so long ago.
Good friend, Uncle Mike. Sad. Very sad.
But it's also been a week of revelations, not least about the man who sat on top of every order to blow up Germans, Winston Churchill, whose hands-on approach sometimes led to scenes more embarrassing than a burp in a cathedral.
Churchill, quite without warning, seized my pistol and shot off down the tunnel.
Brigadier Audrey Salt was gobsmacked by the Prime Minister at the inspection of an underground tunnel from Salisbury to Berlin, down which a huge gun was meant to be fired, killing Hitler and his evil henchmen.
The inspection drew to a close, and Churchill, quite without warning, seized my pistol and leapt aboard a motorcycle and shot off down the tunnel. And it was only quite by chance that T. Lawrence saw this and gave chase on his velocipede to catch him, which he did. And he emerged from the tunnel some 5 hours later with Churchill somewhat subdued.
Then there was the suppressed scandal of the bombs placed in London chimneys between the wars, designed to blow the city to pieces in the event of an invasion. Civil servant Duncan Cogg showed me how in the Blitz as a PR coup, Churchill detonated many of these, ensuring world sympathy for Britain, while causing 85% of the damage himself.
He simply had to press this button, any of these buttons, and he could launch a rocket from his place in the chimney. It will fly up to its zenith, about 1,000 feet above the house, and then plummet back to the earth and destroy the house and everything around it for a radius of 500 meters.
I guess it must have blown everything to pieces.
It was, they were called Newton's car suites, and they, by God, were they effective.
And on D-Day itself, when as Private Clive Fortnight recalls, Churchill insisted on landing with the troops at Peacock Beach and took part in a battle that was 10-gallon weird.
The London craft came right up to the beach and we disembarked and then we saw them across the dunes, silently, about, must have been about 2,000 black men, black African natives with their tribal costume, just slowly coming across the dunes. Was no menace, just slowly moving towards us. And then Churchill quite suddenly grabbed a pistol. Shoot them all, he said. They shouldn't be there. And he shot them all.
Just part of the catalogue of craziness that characterised the war effort of the cigar-sucking supremo with the spherical head. The man who won the war because while Hitler was making the sign for paper, he made the sign for scissors.
Thrusting deep inside the news whore. News Bang FM.
Hey, yeah, I wanna shoot, baby, shoot.
Heartfelt thanks there to Jack Bowyer for that report on D-Day.
No.
Span Fryers.
The bully.
Don't ever get the chance to do this, but this fell into my hands during the course of the week. This is a clip of the man who was voted by Radio 4's audience to be the best user of English in this country. Enoch Powell.
It's not here. It is unthinkable it would not be here, because to get rid of it would be...
An elephant without a trunk is unthinkable.
But sometimes...
It isn't an elephant.
You say that it would not be a nation if it didn't have one.
It wouldn't be an elephant.
So a country, the Britain without a monarch would not be
it would
a nation.
Would not be Britain.
It's like Ayrton Senna for the best use of cruise control, isn't it? That's Enoch Powell and his use of English, which won him the vote by Radio 4's listeners for the best user of English in this country.
You say that if the monarchy was not here, it is unthinkable it would not be here, because to get rid of it would be...
An elephant without a trunk is unthinkable.
But sometimes...
It isn't an elephant.
You say that it would not be a nation if it didn't
have
a monarch.
It wouldn't be an elephant.
So a country, the Britain without a monarch would not be a nation.
It would not be Britain.
This isn't an elephant. It's a CD. From David Byrne.
And you may find yourself at the lead vocal of a song that sounds strangely like a thunderclap human song from the 60s got to number one. Combined with your own best-selling single, and you may think, my God, what have I done? But at least it pays the bills, right? Hey, hey, hey!
There are no angels left in America anymore. They left.
0716374343. Don't part in the cow quiz. I think there's one place left if you want to do that. It's a accumulator prize. Cash prize is up for this. 0716374343. Martin Lewis to follow the newsbeat at 9:30. But stick in the news, because in between getting ready for this show, I work as a political journalist, and I'm joined by my colleague Simon Sparrow, who's at Westminster in the parliamentary unit all week. We're going to have a look at what's about to explode in the Labour leadership battle. It's all been kept under a lid so far, but come Friday, that's going to change, isn't it, Simon?
Certainly is. Blair seems to be at the moment as a front runner. Obviously, he's the media's choice for the leadership of the Labour Party.
Very little known about him, isn't
there? Well, there is very little known about him, but there are cracks in his persona, basically.
When they're such as?
Well, I mean, there's this Labour Party speech that he made in 1983, which was sort of saying, let's pull out of Europe. I think the Tories are going to make a lot of that.
Yeah, and also there's a weird...
Well, there's this nervous tick he's got as well. I don't know if you've heard about
this.
This hissing thing. I mean, I first encountered it about 2 years ago. I was at one of Ken Livingstone's annual buffets. Mm-hmm. And I was just, like, leaning over to get a sandwich. And I just heard this hissing noise in my ear. And I looked round. And Tony Blair is staring right in my face going like... You know, I mean, I think that's going to do him down in the end.
If he brings that out in public, it certainly will, yeah. Is there anything else that he's got, which may...
There is this business that he wears gloves all the time on his feet.
Right.
Yeah, I suppose, which isn't good.
That won't get him into trouble. It's the only thing, the hissing thing will get him into trouble, or the fact that he was once caught masturbating Claire Rainer with a chainsaw. Yeah.
Pardon?
Now, John Prescott... he's been getting quite het up about the press favouring Blair, hasn't he?
Yeah,
and he's been finding some difficulty controlling his anger.
Well, he is. I mean, obviously sad to hear about his accident today. But, mind you, the fight back starts on Friday, straight after the elections, with he's going to be starring in this new Dennis Potter-written version of Tarzan that's going to go on to sell through video. And then there's this.
This release here. This release is coming out on Friday, and it is going to promote John Prescott.
But the power that I'm supplying, I can tell you, it's electrifying. Okay, just drop us in, love. I'll pick it up. You better shape up, because you need a man. And that man, I think, is me. Yeah, I'll shake you up like a leader can. A vote for me is for victory. Victory! A vote for me is for victory. Yes, shout. I'm the one that you want. I'm the one you bloody well want. Oh, oh, oh. I'm the one that you want. I'm the one you bloody well want. Oh, oh, oh. I'm the one that you want. I'm the one you bloody well want. Oh, oh, oh. Don't vote for Blair. He's over there. And he's a twat.
So that's Greece, you're the one, though, I'm the one that you want, which is coming out, John Prescott, on Friday. And he also got into trouble with an anger outburst, didn't he?
He's having problems with this, yeah. What happened apparently was, I mean, did you see the thing about Andrew Ronsley wrote it in the...
He goes into the canteen.
Yes.
He says, oh, everybody, look at this.
Yes.
And then he pulls out of his bag...
These cakes in the shape of Tony Blair. Lays them out on the table, these Blair cakes.
And he said, He picked up one, bit the head off it and said, I'll eat him for breakfast, I'll eat him for lunch, I'll eat him for tea, I'll eat him for dinner. He's biting the head of jam all over his shirt.
And then stands up with all this cake pouring over his face and just goes, in fact, I'll eat him any bloody well once. Like that, you know.
And stormed out with jam all over the place. It was a bad move, really, wasn't it?
It's very embarrassing. And I think he's standing down.
Jerk.
Yeah.
He must have had a real schmuck.
Fucking total prattwack.
A real drooling...
Drooling cockwit. Spunk.
But the power that I'm supplying, I can tell you, it's electrifying.
Okay, just drop us in, love. I'll pick it up.
You better shape up, because you need a man. And that man, I think, is me. Yeah, I'll shake you up, like a leader can. Vote for me for victory, victory! Vote for me for victory, victory! Vote for me for victory, yes, show! I'm the one that you want, I'm the one you bloody well want. Oh, oh, oh! I'm the one that you want, I'm the one you bloody well want. Oh, oh, oh! I'm the one that you want, I'm the one you bloody well want. Oh, oh, oh! Don't vote for Blair, he's over there, and he's a twat.
Barry, just ad-lib those, one take, and that's coming out on Friday. John Prescott's bid for the leadership, and who knows, he could actually get there. Simon, just before the news, you didn't actually say that, did you?
No.
Good. Quite sure?
I'm fairly definite.
What didn't you say?
I didn't say that.
It's on the list that's published, isn't it?
We got the list.
Now, Bowie Heroes. It's all right. Okay, I'm composed now.
What's up?
Okay, earlier this afternoon, our reporter Peter Hamill had a word with our sod of the day, Martin Lewis.
I'm Peter Hamill. Martin Lewis, welcome.
Thank you, Peter.
Now, Lewis is a name we associate with news quite a lot, isn't it? One thinks instinctively of Tony Lewis, the sportsman. Gavin Nestler's mother's maiden name was Lewis. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
So, well,
and none of us are related.
Well, it's a strong newsy name. Of course, in America, there's Huey and his lot. but what about news? How does it help us?
How does news help us? I think it presents us with events and stories which help to make us more rounded, fuller people.
Well, how can we be sure that we haven't just watched a news bulletin which contained, say, a 290-degree news rather than a 360-degree one?
Well, I think you have to accept that what we decide to do is that we pick the top 12, 13, 14 stories of the day.
So it's very much like a sort of album chart.
How do you mean?
In that you have a prioritization system.
Yes, of course we do. I mean, I think people do in most walks of life. I don't see anything unusual about having that in the news.
I suppose what you're saying is that the tape is always the same size.
The tape is always the same size.
It's not going to vary, is it?
In terms of the length, you're right. I mean,
the length of tape is the same size.
2.5 minutes, yes.
And obviously on a story about transport policy, you wouldn't go so far as to examine what a road was.
Well, if a story is complex, then it helps to provide all the explanation you would need, as though someone was picking it up for the first time, because for one reason or another, they haven't been listening for the previous 4 or 5 days.
And this is the sort of thing that Newsnight perhaps would do that the main bulletins wouldn't.
Oh, no, the main bulletins would as well.
What a road was.
We would explain what a road was.
Now, this is a book aimed at showing young people what to do. Particularly impressed here with the cross-referencing in the book. Mm. Who thought of that?
Well, that was my idea, because it's the young person's Bible. And, of course, I realised that if you knew the name of the organisation you were going for, well, then, of course, you just look it up, and the book is compiled in alphabetical order.
Now, why alphabetical?
Most people, well, I mean, alphabetical, because that seemed to me the sensible way to put the book into some
kind
of order.
I suppose in the way of the letters which come up most commonly.
Well, no, I mean, we're all used to working with dictionaries and thesauruses and even telephone directories, and alphabetical order is, you know, a perfectly natural way of doing things.
I suppose we take it for granted, but is it?
Oh, yes, I think so. Except, and this is why I put in the different categories that you're talking about, except when you don't know the name of the organisations offering the opportunity that you as a young person might want.
Hence the cross-referencing.
Hence the cross-referencing, a special category section. So it's very easy and quick for you to get to those opportunities.
And nail them down in a kill.
Sure.
Now, could you just take us through the cross-referencing system and how exactly it works?
All right, well, let's take a general area of interest.
Photography?
Photography, you would probably home in on... Let me just have a look here. You would... It could be sport and leisure. Well, let me just test it. Okay, well, first of all, you would
look
you
under
would,
F.
It may not be an actual photographic organization. Right, so there's no actual photographic organization.
Is this cross-referencing now?
Yes, this is the cross-referencing now.
Yep.
It's not under there. It's under...
Something else.
Further educational training and vocational training. I would suspect that if people were looking for a career in photography, that there would be something there. Film and TV, The
nope.
Way In.
Nope.
197.
And this is cross-referencing now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep, brilliant.
I mean, this is the whole point, that
it doesn't
there are
work.
500 organisations represented here, and
it doesn't work.
Some of them are quite wide in their embrace, in their remit.
And the great thing, actually, is that while you're using the cross-referencing system, you can skim through and find out about things that you didn't actually know about. Kibbutz Volunteer,
right.
Ockenden Venture, I see here, Sean Ryder Foundation.
Sure.
That might be quite fun for young people, I suppose.
Yeah, sure. This twinkle in
time can't give it no- The second half of Peter Hamill's interview with Martin Lewis. Now, with this book, you are vying for attention in the mind of youngsters. How do you feel about the fact that you are taking on, for example, the new wave of cartoons?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's a matter of taking them on. I think it's a matter of... because hopefully it won't be a choice for youngsters between the new wave of cartoons and my book.
I'm wondering what about this book is going to lead them in your direction when they are drip-fed, some may say, by The Baby Killers, M.R. Spazchrist, or MTV's Black Transvestite Gangster Dogs.
Well, I think hopefully when they've finished with all that kind of stuff, which I suspect some of them do very quickly, certainly the kind of youngsters I'm talking about, that they would actually get out there and be aware that this book is around. That's the key, actual awareness.
Well, that's great. These books are doing the rounds, but against that you have thousands of kids turning up to see comedians like Homicide Cocker, whose act involves inflating life rafts inside
yes,
dead dogs.
You clearly get an enormous kick out of talking about all this. If I said to you McDonald's, what would that bring to mind?
Fast food.
Right, and so lots of kids go in there. Well, I can tell you.
Do they?
All their parents.
And all their parents.
Yeah, and I would.
Before breakfast, before lunch, before tea, and I'll get up the next morning before dinner.
What a guy.
Okay, Peter, spill that stuff out. We'll play the cow quiz in 30 seconds, or minutes' time, and let's just riffle through Glenn Close's trash can. And you got this without any trouble?
Yep.
Okay, let's hand round some of the booty.
Right, here you go.
Look.
What?
Giraffe nappies.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's got about four of those.
Oh, they're revolting. What's this? Lot of chewed-up batteries.
Right.
Got a good old go at those.
Do you remember these are fruit-breeding experiment kit? Cherry, mate of cherry with a banana.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice.
Oh, look at this little bonsai policeman. You know, she's obviously got bored with it and torn its head off and killed it or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, not very nice.
Peter Benchley mouthwash.
Lovely.
Effective.
Yep. Looking like an old bra here. Look at this. On the inside of this bra, she's sewn little pictures of Jenny Agutter on each little cup.
She's got this. Look at this scrapbook here. Yeah. A scrapbook of lunatics in their underpants.
Oh, God. That's
none of them identify, but there's... I could do with one of these, too. An arm wrestling cheat kit.
Oh, lovely.
You hold a very strong magnet in your hand.
Yeah.
And then you hold another very strong magnet under the table. And your hand just slams down onto the table.
Can I have it? Yeah,
you can have that. Yeah,
right. Jiving chart here. Look, all the jiving positions, the most popular jiving positions.
Right.
That she can go for. What's over here? God almighty, a spherical book.
Have a check through, just while we're doing the cow quiz. Just check through, see if there's anything of a riotously interesting nature. So, Cow Quiz, we've got, would it be Martin?
No.
David, hi.
Hello.
Yeah.
How are you?
Martin. Not too bad. Martin, you know the rules here.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm going to ask you a simple question about a cow. All you have to do is answer it, and you can win a prize of £500.
Sounds quite nice.
Okay, so, just answer as soon as it comes to you. Question about a cow.
Okay.
And we'll spin the answer. We've got the answer here. And I wish you luck, okay?
Okay.
First question is, how much does half a cow weigh?
£300.
Let's just find out.
Cow. Half a cow weighs a pound.
Sorry about that, David.
A pound.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Cheers. Alyssa. Hello, Alyssa.
Hi.
Okay, so the prize has gone up to £1,000 now.
Right.
All you have to do is get the answer right.
Okay.
Okay, let's have a go at this. Your question is, what is the average speed of Frisian cattle at rest? What is the average speed of Frisian cattle at rest? Think about it and let me know.
Zero.
How? 30 miles per hour.
Alyssa, thanks very much.
Okay, thanks
Sorry,
a lot.
Bad luck. So it's gone up to... I tell you what, Alyssa...
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to have another go?
Yeah, please.
Very quick. Okay. Well, I'm feeling a little bit generous about this. Okay. So, name a famous opera singer who is a cow. A famous opera singer who is a cow.
Kiri Takanawa.
You have to give exactly the right. Why are you saying that?
Well, I don't like it very much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You have to give me the exact answer I've got here.
Right.
I can tell you, you're very close.
Lucia Bell.
No, you're going to kick yourself so hard when you hear this.
Pavarotti?
Lavash Kiri.
Oh, it's harsh, isn't it?
It is.
But thanks for taking part.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, we've got someone on a mobile phone. If we can just hit that. Good. Okay, and we've got... I said priority would be given to somebody with a mobile phone. We've got Paul. Hello, Paul. Hi there, Paul.
Hello.
Yeah, you got a mobile phone?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, well, listen, and you're in a shop?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so that means that you're up for £2,000 here. Now, are you anywhere near the queue in the shop?
Yeah, it's just two away.
Two away from being served?
One
away from being served. Okay, well, listen, I'll ask you a question about a cow. If you start being served, let us know, okay?
Yeah, hello. Do you sell Marlboro Light?
Okay.
How much?
He's being served.
How much are they?
Paul?
Yeah.
When he gives you the change... Can you complain about the shape of the coin that you're given?
Yeah, I will do, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so when he gives you the change, just say, I'm sorry, if there's a 20p coin or, you know, a 5p coin, say, I'm sorry,
is that
this 5p coin's the wrong shape.
Is that right? Yeah, he gives me 5p. No, the coin looks funny. Can I have another one? Yeah. That's not right.
Tell him it should be shinier.
Yeah, that's not shiny. There's a lot of funny ones about. Look at that.
It should be really shiny on the edge.
Can you see that? It's on the edges. Can you see it? It's just slightly. I've been reading about them in the paper. Can you see that? You can't. Did you give me the same one back?
No.
Sorry? Yeah, if you would.
Yeah, insist.
Yeah, thank you.
And then when she gives it to you, thank her seven times.
Thanks. Whoops, thanks. Thanks a lot.
And again?
Thank you.
Sing it. And by the way, thank you.
Oh, fucking hell.
Do you want to have a go at the quiz?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'm running like a bandit.
When did cows evolve?
The same time as cigars, earlier, after fish.
He's allowed to say anything. We can't criticise him for this date. The date, Paul?
BC 300.
Close, 1932. Thanks, Paul. Okay, just time for some closing headlines. Altar boys fly over steeple in sick cleric clay pigeon trap hell. Filleted giraffe flaps 30 tourists off bridge. Leaf-headed baby drives bus through wall of nannies. Breastfed chickens cried mummy as we chopped, sobs butcher. And stupid-faced milkman shamed by children with mirror. I've got to say thanks very much to Ollie. Thanks to everyone else. Thanks very much to Peter Bainham. And don't forget that all this week, Emma Thompson will be whoring herself to raise money for charity, along with Felicity Kendall, for the man who likes a little bit of salt in the sand of her beard, and Helena Bonham Carter.
downloaded from Cooked and Bombed. Visit
cookedandbombed.co.uk
or chilled.cream.org.